Psalm 55, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I mourn. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive. For evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. For many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Now it is quite likely that David wrote this psalm, Psalm 55, during the early days of rebellion of Absalom his son. And we read of Absalom's conspiracy and rebellion in 2 Samuel chapters 15 right up to chapter 17. And David was still in Jerusalem during this time while he wrote the psalm. We notice this in verses 9 to 11. Psalm 55 verses 9 to 11. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. And the city is Jerusalem. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. So this revolt was gathering momentum. I see violence and strife in the city. Verse 9. If so, then this friend that is mentioned in verses 12 to 14 and also in verses 20 to 21 had to be David's counselor, Ahithophel. He had now taken sides with Absalom. Psalm 55 verses 12 to 14. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. Psalm 55 verses 20 and 21. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. So this could be no one else but David's counselor Ahithophel, who had now taken sides to be with Absalom. 2 Samuel chapter 15 verse 31. And it was told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now many Bible commentators claim that King David and his officers did not know about Ahithophel's treachery until after David had fled the city of Jerusalem. But this is not clearly stated in the scripture. David was a man with keen discernment, and it is difficult to believe that the treachery of his closest advisor was hidden from him. If this psalm was David's prayer while still in Jerusalem, then his prayer in 2 Samuel chapter 15 verse 31, which we just read, is simply a repetition of verse 9 of this psalm, because verse 9 of Psalm 55 reads, Psalm 55 verse 9, Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. This psalm, Psalm 55, reveals four possible approaches to handling the painful problem and battles of life. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will go through many storms, as we saw last Sunday from Matthew chapter 14. How do we handle these painful storms? How do we manage these problems and battles? We can look within at our feelings. That's one way. Verses 1 to 5 describes that. And that's a negative way. Number 2, we could look beyond for a safe refuge. We see that in verses 6 to 8 of the psalm. We could look outside for a safe refuge. Number 3, we can look around at the circumstances. Verses 9 to 15 and verses 20 to 21 speak about that. Finally, we can look up to God and we can trust Him. That's what verses 16 to 19 and verses 22 to 23 of this psalm speak about. Now let's look at the first 8 verses today. Number 1, we can look within at our feelings. Verses 1 to 5, Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I mourn. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. So David, here he's opening with a cry to the Lord, that the Lord would not hide his face from his supplications. In other words, David is saying, please don't ignore my prayer. That's what he's saying. Psalm 10 verse 1. Many of these psalms he says this. Psalm 10 verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 13 verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 27 verse 9. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Psalm 69 verse 17. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Psalm 143 and verse 7. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Now, why was David feeling like this? As though God had forsaken him. David knew that all of this was a result of his own sin. His own negligence as a father had turned Absalom, his son, against him, against the Lord, and against the nation. Although Absalom was responsible for his own sins and his own life, David knew that much of what happened to his son was because of David's own sin of adultery with Bathsheba and his planned murder of Uriah. You see, sin has its consequences. Sin has its consequences. And let us therefore beware and not play with sin. Yes, even forgiven sin has consequences, and therefore we must never think that we can toy with sin because God will forgive us. We must beware of sin and we must flee from it. David also knew that the revolt of Absalom was part of the discipline that Nathan the prophet said would happen because of David's adultery and the murder of Uriah. Nathan prophetically spoke about this to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 to 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 to 12. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. So when these consequences of sin are playing out in David's life, we find David is pleading to God for mercy. Psalm 55 verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. What David heard and saw in the city of Jerusalem distressed him greatly. Psalm 55 verse 9. For I see violence and strife in the city. Psalm 55 verse 2, attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan. Psalm 55 verse 17, evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan and he hears my voice. There was hatred, there was anarchy brewing within the city walls against King David. And all of this was connived by Ahithophel and Absalom. David realized that his own life was in danger. The opposition was bringing trouble upon him the way soldiers fling stones at the enemy or roll down rocks upon the enemy. Psalm 55 verse 3. Psalm 55 verse 3. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me and in anger they bear a grudge against me. But David's concern was for the safety of his people and the future of the Lord's promises to his own dynasty. Remember the promise of the Messiah given through Nathan in the line of the tribe of Judah through David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 16 and 17. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 16 and 17. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. That's a messianic prophecy. Verse 17. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. But David is now feeling like everything was falling apart and there was no hope. Psalm 55 verse 4 and 5. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me and horror overwhelms me. It's natural for us to look at our feelings and express our fears, but that is not the way to solve the problems. That is no way to fight the battle. Remember, the real enemy is not the person you see in front of you who is hurling vicious words at you or spewing venom against you behind your back. The real enemy is the devil who is using that person as a puppet in his hands. So we need to fight the real enemy. And this involves spiritual warfare, as is described in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 12 to 13. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 12 to 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Therefore, every known sin must be confessed and forsaken, and we must walk with the Lord in intimacy with Him and fight this battle against the enemy, because we stand on victory ground today because the Lord has raised us up and seated us with Him, and He is the Lord who fights our battles. The second approach when we face these storms could be that we can look beyond, we can look outside for a safe refuge. That again is dangerous. Psalm 55 verses 6 to 8. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. When we find ourselves in the midst of trouble, our first thought is, how can I get out of this? How can I escape from this whole situation? But the dedicated believer in Christ needs to ask, what can I get out of this? Now let me tell you, it is not easy for us to think this way naturally. Our natural instincts look for a way of escape. Unless we are controlled by the Holy Spirit and our minds are being renewed on a daily basis through God's word, unless that happens, we will fail to think as God wants us to think. Our natural tendency is to become anxious, is to try and flee. We just want to run away. God tells us in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So our thinking needs to become truly spiritual. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit in our thought life. For this to take place, we need to constantly fill our minds on a daily basis with God's Word. We need to think with renewed minds, renewed through the word of God. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So to know God's will and to do God's will, we need the renewal of our minds through God's word, so that we can think God's thoughts, we can feel after His heart, and we can do His will. We need to think soberly. We need to think soberly also. Romans chapter 12 verse 3. Think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. David had learned some strategic lessons while hiding in the wilderness when he was running away from Saul. But in his later years also, he had some important lessons to learn. The human heart longs for a safe and peaceful refuge, far away from the problems and the burdens of life. Look at Elijah. Elijah fled from the place of ministry and he hid in a cave. He was fleeing from the threats of Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab. 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 2 to 4. 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 2 to 4. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. By the way, this happened after his great victory over the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. God had answered Elijah and proven himself to the children of Israel as the true God. 1 Kings chapter 18 verses 36 to 40. 1 Kings chapter 18 verses 36 to 40. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The word Lord there is Yahweh. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. They had gone after Baal and now they saw what God had done and they turned to God. They turned to God. They turned to the Lord Yahweh. Verse 40. And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Let no one of them escape. And they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. Now what happened? Jezebel threatens Elijah. And Elijah was fleeing from Jezebel and he had run into a cave in Horeb. And there he was sulking when God meets with him. 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 8 to 10. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Here is a sulking prophet after having won a great victory. He looked for a place of refuge outside, and he ran. But God doesn't leave him. The prophet Jeremiah, he also was upset and he longed for a quiet lodge where he might get away from the wicked people around him. Jeremiah chapter 9 verses 2 to 6. Oh, that I had in the desert a traveler's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, a company of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like a bow. Falsehood and not truth has grown strong in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone beware of his neighbor and put no trust in any brother. Let everyone beware of his neighbor and put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity, heaping oppression upon oppression and deceit upon deceit. They refuse to know me, declares the Lord. But ultimately, when Babylon invaded Judah, Jeremiah was given the opportunity to leave Judah. But like a true shepherd, he remains. He remained with the people of God in Judah. God had transformed his thinking. Jeremiah chapter 40 verses 1 to 6. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah when he took him bound in chains along with all the captives of Jerusalem and Judah who were being exiled to Babylon. The captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, The Lord your God pronounced this disaster against this place. The Lord has brought it about and has done as he said. Because you sinned against the Lord and did not obey his voice, this thing has come upon you. Now, behold, I release you today from the chains on your hands. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come and I will look after you well. But if it seems wrong to you to come with me to Babylon, do not come. See, the whole land is before you. Go wherever you think it is good and right to go. Go wherever you think it good and right to go. If you remain, then return to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon appointed governor over the city, governor of the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people. or go wherever you think it is right to go. So the captain of the guard gave him an allowance of food and a present and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, at Mizpah, and lived with him among the people who were left in the land. So he doesn't go away. He stays back. God transformed his thinking. You see, doves can fly long distances, and they seek for safe refuges. They seek for safe refuges in the high rocks. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 28. Leave the cities and dwell in the rock, O inhabitants of Moab. Be like the dove that nests in the sides of the mouth of a gorge. But we don't need wings like a dove. David asked for wings like a dove. We don't need wings like a dove so we can fly away from the storm. We need wings like an eagle so we can fly above the storm. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So no matter what the storm may be, we can rise above the storm with wings like an eagle. More than once, David had prayed that the Lord would hide him. And he answered his prayers. Psalm 17, verse 8. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 27, verse 5. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Psalm 64, verse 2. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers. Our security must be there, under the shadow of his wings, not trying to flee away to some place. David did flee from the city of Jerusalem, from Absalom. We find in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 to 15. And a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. Then David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said to the king, behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king decides. So David flees from Jerusalem and he lodges in the wilderness across the Jordan River at a place called Mahanaim. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24. Then David came to Mahanaim. Now, have you ever felt like flying away just to get away from it all? Has life ever been such a burden that all you can think about is escaping? David did feel like that, as we saw in these first 8 verses of the psalm. That's why David wrote in Psalm 55 verses 6 to 8. Psalm 55 verses 6 to 8. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Now, let's be honest. This is a natural feeling. All of us have felt like getting away. Just packing our bags and saying, I've had enough. I need a break. I need to quit. I can't take it anymore. I've got to get away. It's a normal, natural reaction. But it is not a good solution to any problem. We usually take our problems with us wherever we go. We can go on a vacation and enjoy a short respite, but when we return, the battles and the burdens and the problems are still there. In fact, sometimes when we try to run away, we only make the problem worse. Why does the Lord allow us to go through windy storms and tempests? Because these storms of life help us grow. They help us mature. If we keep running away, we are like children who never grow up. No, we don't need the wings of a dove to fly away. We need the wings of the eagle. Now the question is, how do we get wings like an eagle? We receive the wings of an eagle. We receive such wings, wings of the eagle, to ascend through the storm when we learn to wait upon the Lord. Remember Psalm 37. It was all about waiting upon the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The eagle faces the storm, spreads his great wings, and allows the wind to lift him above the storm. God allows trials to make you grow and mature and become like his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the next time you go through a storm, resist the pressure to run from it. Let God use that storm to accomplish his purposes and learn to submit to his will. Learn to submit to his will. Let us learn to say like our Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 26 verse 39. Matthew 26 verse 39 in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26 verse 39. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26 verse 42. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Matthew 26 verse 44. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. In the book of James, James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4, we read, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 6 to 7. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's bow our heads in prayer.